What's up, OGG fans? Welcome to the NBA Outlet, presented by OGGBasketball.com. I'm your host, Nick Fay. With me, as always, Corey Waldron. What's up, Corey?
It's a beautiful podcast because we get to talk about Game 7s.
Game 7s. And we don't have just one. We have two. We have Bucks and Celtics and Cavs and Pacers, which I know you were very excited about. Before we get started, just a quick reminder, you can check out the NBA Outlet on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, OGGBasketball.com, Google Play, and Dash Radio. But let's get started with Bucks Celtics. Kind of hold you back a little bit at first. But this series, you know, the home teams have won. We're going 7-3-3. What are your thoughts on this series so far?
Well, I picked this series to go 7, first off. So right on the money. I picked both these games to be game 7, so I'm right in the money for that. What stuck out to me is the fact that this Celtics team continues to, you know, with, you know, next man up mentality. Somebody gets hurt, somebody steps up. You know, it's been their story all season. They got Marcus Smart back, who was huge in that game 5 win for them at home. You know, they're just a team that's, you know, they grind it out. Brad Stevens, tremendous head coach. He's done a great job. From top to bottom, they all grind out. They've taken care of home court advantage so far in this series. On the flip side, the Bucks, who are led by Antetokounmpo, you know, when they've been home, they've been fantastic too. Antetokounmpo has been the clear best player, I think, throughout this series, even though he's had some, you know, poor shooting games. Middleton has been, you know, that dude's a human torch. You know, if you were to make another Avengers movie, you got to put him in as a Marvel character. That dude's unreal right now in the playoffs.
He's been eating on the switches, too. Anytime he's gotten a Shane Larkin or a Terry Rozier on him in the post area or even the mid post, he's really put the work, like you said. Him and Giannis have really just been dominating the series. And a lot of it has been like supporting cast. You know, at home, Boston supporting cast stepped up. At home for Milwaukee, they've stepped up. It's been Jabari Parker, Thon Maker, you know, Eric Bledsoe playing better, and Malcolm Brogdon at home. And then for Boston at home, it's been guys like you said, Marcus Smart coming back, younger guys like Brown and Tatum stepping up. Horford's been pretty good the whole entire series. And then, like, you know, it's just, can these role guys step up for Milwaukee in a game 7? I think it's a real question mark.
On the road, nonetheless, in a place where it's going to be rocking. You know, the TD Garden is a huge basketball. I mean, Boston in general is a pretty big basketball town. And a game 7.
Big sports town and everything, pretty much.
Yeah. Especially right now, you know, the Boston Bruins also moved on in hockey. So the TD Garden has been rocking this entire month.
Yeah, it's going to be a pretty interesting thing, especially because it's not like the Bucks have a ton of playoff experience, a lot of young players on this team. I think turnovers are going to be huge. It's felt like when Boston has protected the ball and not allowed Milwaukee to get in transition, it's been a lot tougher for the Bucks to score and really get things cooking. Whenever they're able to pick up some energy and momentum, it's translated well for the Bucks. So I think it's very important for the Celtics to protect the ball, slow it down, make sure they're getting back on transition D.
Yeah, I 100% agree with that. With everything you just said, I don't even need to make any other point because that's exactly what I was going to say.
Who do you think needs to have a bigger game, Tatum or Jaylen Brown?
I mean, they both need to have big games. Don't get me wrong. But I think for me, it's got to be Jaylen Brown, only because he's been having the big games all series already. And I get maybe, you know, if he doesn't, then it's like, well, he already has some big games. But I think for Jaylen in particular, like, this has kind of been him growing up in front of us. You know, he's had to become the man, in a sense, most of this series. And, you know, he's got a couple 3-point games under his belt. And for me, it's got to be Jaylen. You know, this is the biggest stage. You've had some huge games. You know, you need one more huge one.
Yeah, they need him to step up. They need him to be aggressive and attack the paint like we saw earlier in the series. He kind of calmed down the last few games. But he's able to kind of keep attacking the paint. Even in sometimes he's not scoring, he's just collapsing that Bucks defense and opening up for 3-point shooters. And that's something that's very important with the lack of, obviously, Kyrie not being there. Terry Rozier still being a young and consistent player, he can really ignite the offense by getting inside. I know a lot of Boston fans want to see more Al Horford kind of running the offense, but it is a little bit tough for Horford with Giannis on him and having to guard him on the other end a lot of the game.
Yeah, I think with Al Horford, you just need to accept his role in this series, which is, it's been different, obviously. The Bucks have played, you know, they got a bunch of guys with crazy length, and Al Horford is obviously their smartest, probably their smartest basketball player at this point in time. A great defensive IQ, and he's really had to do, you know, his best attempt to limit Giannis, which you can only do so much of.
Yeah, it's very tough. Semi Ojeleye has done a pretty good job as well coming in, especially not playing in the first two, not starting in the first two games and then coming out and having a nice impact defending him a little bit. Marcus Smart's another guy, obviously at home. His stats don't really ever explain how he's played in the game. What do you expect from him in a game seven? He just seems like the type of guy that comes, you know, shows up for those games.
I mean, at home, you know, he's the kind of guy who gets the crowd involved. He's the one who I think fans in general for Boston love more than anyone else on that team at times, because he is just so erratic. And obviously, you know, he could be the best player in a game seven with only, you know, 8 points, depending on how he's playing on the defensive end, how he's hustling. His first game back in Boston, he dove for a ball, like, you know, what, like 3 minutes into the game, he was already on his stomach diving for a loose ball.
That's he also just the kind dove of on the floor and saved the game, you know, diving on the floor and getting that loose ball and passing to his teammate at the end of the game too.
Right. Yeah, it's one of those guys you can't explain, but the amount of hustle and hard he plays, you know, he may not have a huge game on the court, but doing little things, you know, they charge up the fans, it's going to be crucial. And it charges up your teammates. You know, if you see Marcus Smart dive out of bounds for a ball, or like you said, he had the one dive, he ended up getting a shot at the end. You know, those kind of plays literally ignite your team, and they set off sparks, and they set off runs and everything else. I think for Marcus Smart, the biggest impact he can have in game seven is being the heart of his team, is just being the guy who hustles for everything, kind of like how in the other series we're going to talk about, you know, Thaddeus Young kind of is for the Pacers. You want a guy who just hustles for everything, and that's what Marcus Smart is.
Yeah, that emotional leader on the floor. Moving back to the Bucks side, if you had a pick out of these three, who needs to have the biggest game, who would it be? Eric Bledsoe, Jabari Parker, or Thon Maker?
So I'm going with Thon Maker. I think because of how he's come on, you know, recently, especially, you know, Kevin Garnett's calling him Thon, the difference maker, and I co-sign that. He's been tremendous. The block shots, you know, he had 5 in the one game, 4 in another. He's just been crucial. And I think, you know, John Henson, obviously, he wasn't getting them this kind of play at the center position in the playoffs, first couple games. And Maker has, I think, his defensive impact possibility on this team is what the Bucks need the most in a game seven on the road.
Yeah, defensive impact, he's been huge, like you mentioned. The shot blocking, another thing for Maker as well is the three-point shooting. You know, if he's able to knock down the three-point shot, that really spaces the floor, opens up things for Giannis, which is very important. I'm just going to play devil's advocate and go with Jabari Parker. You know, I think defensively, if he can bring the energy, play with some hustle, that's always important to keep him on the floor. But offensively, when they're, you know, putting so much pressure on Giannis and you need to get Giannis some breaks and Middleton's getting a lot of attention, you have Jabari Parker out there who can get you a bucket. I think that's important. If he can throw his three-point shot too. I think for the Bucks in general, three-point shooting is big, and they've done better at home. If they can shoot well on the road, I think that's going to impact the series, open up the floor, allow them to attack inside a little bit more. Who wins game seven?
I mean, you had to do it to me. Celtics. I'm sticking with my pick. It's Celtics in seven. Celtics are the home team. I'm rolling with it.
I picked the Celtics to win the series. Oh, this is tough. You know, you want to believe in Boston at home, but something just tells me, you know, this superstar Giannis Antetokounmpo is going to step up. And I don't use the word superstar a lot, but Giannis has definitely earned that. He's going to have a huge game, and he's going to win a game seven on the road. It's going to be the start of a great postseason career for him.
I honestly wouldn't be surprised to see Antetokounmpo go off. But yeah, you know, it can't just be him though. You know, we've seen Antetokounmpo and Middleton, they've played well on the road all series. It's been the collective unit behind them that has not. So I think Antetokounmpo is going to have a huge game, but I don't know if I'm buying in on, you know, the Bledsoes and the Dellavedovas and the Brogdons and the Tony Snells and the Jabari Park. Like, I just don't know if they're going to have a huge game or show up in a game seven. To me, that's the concern. I do like Antetokounmpo, though, and I wouldn't be surprised if he had, you know, a career night.
I think he has a big game offensively, but I think defensively he has a big game as well. A lot of shot blocks, getting the passing lanes, and kind of leads that team. I think they need him is to be the leader tonight. And if he doesn't show up, like you said, as that leader and gets his team going, they're not going to be able to win the game. But I think somebody will step up. Chris Middleton, like you mentioned, another guy playing big on the road. I think the Bucks have really warmed themselves up in this series, where some of the bench players have kind of started to play well, you know, and now this is a game where they can all put together. But I would not be surprised at all if Boston won Celtics are great at home in this series, and Brad Stevens is going to come up with some adjustments. But sometimes talent just kind of overpasses that. Moving on to our next series, which I know you're very excited to talk about, Cavs and Pacers. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, 121-7 is how you take care of Game 6. Completely wiped the Cavs off the floor. After the Cavs hit, you know, LeBron hit the game-winning three in Game 5. You know, everyone had written off the Pacers. A lot of people were saying this was over in 6. Continuing to sleep on the Pacers. And Pat Bowlen, one of the sideline reporters for the Pacers, said that at practice Thursday, this was the calmest, loosest team he's seen all season. They were joking. They weren't taking the practice too serious, light. And this Pacers team is not scared of the Cavaliers at all. And I've said this before, the Pacers are the better team in this series, but the Cavs have LeBron James. And we've seen that pretty much all series. The Pacers have two blowout wins, and the Cavs, all of their wins have been decided by 5 or less points. And it's basically been off the back of LeBron James, each of their wins.
Yeah, if LeBron's not a god or Super Saiyan or whatever you want to call him, you know, the Cavs aren't winning the game. And he's averaging 28-9-7 on 53% from the field. His plus-minus in the series is 19.3. You know, he's just been dominant. And a thing for the Pacers, Oladipo struggled early in the series, but you mentioned Game 6. They had that big win, and he was a big reason why. If he can show up in Game 7, that's going to be huge for the Pacers, because it's not like they have a ton of lockdown scoring options other than him.
Yeah, I mean, Oladipo, obviously, Game 1, he was huge with the 39 points, I believe he had, or 38, whatever he had. He was incredible. And then the offense started dipping. They started trapping him more. And, you know, luckily they've had guys like Bogdanović step up for a game. You know, Lance has been consistent. And like you said, Victor Oladipo had a triple-double last night, 4 steals, 11 of 19 shooting for 57.9%, 75% from 3, 6 for 8, plus 26, and only 2 turnovers and 1 personal foul. He's been great, man. It's crazy because when you look at a guy like Oladipo and the Pacers are so dependent on him as in general. Like he's the offense flows through him. And when he's been taken out the last couple of games, we've seen the Pacers struggle offensively. And we saw how good they are when he's unchecked. You know, he was coming off screens and shooting, you know, there was like 2 or 3 pick and pops he had. And or you know not pick and pop screens where he rolled off the screen and without hesitation he took the jump shot and it was nothing but net, and we weren't seeing that games 2 through 5. We just weren't seeing that.
He adjusted more to, I think, the double teams and the traps, like you mentioned. I also think his team and Nate McMillan did a better job of getting him open a little bit. It also helps Sabonis stepped up. You know, having a player like him, Miles Turner has had his moments in the series too. We've mentioned Thad Young being just a great all around hustle guy. You said Lance Collison has had some good moments and bad moments. So I think
he had their best game. He had his best game last night.
Do you think that sometimes you would like him to kind of like ignite the offense a little bit, run a little pick and roll, make things easier for Oladipo, or do you like him in more of the passive role he's in sometimes?
Well, it's funny because he had a game this year where he had like almost 20 assists. I think he had 17 assists one game this year. So he has the ability to be a playmaker. I don't know. I mean, yeah, I would like him to be more aggressive, especially because I'm sure a lot of people know this. You know, he was the best 3-point percentage shooter in the league this year at 47%. And obviously he's been checked a little bit in this postseason. But there's too many times, like you mentioned, he kind of goes non-existent. You don't even realize he's down the floor at times.
Yeah, especially with Oladipo getting so much attention and then putting, you know, sometimes he has a matchup with like Jose Calderon or Kyle Korver, somebody who's not even close to as quick as he is.
Yeah, I definitely think he needs to be more aggressive, for sure.
On the Cavs side, how big do you think it is if George Hill misses this game, or it doesn't really matter?
I don't think it really matters. He's been kind of a non-factor for them. Obviously, you know, if he does play, he does bring that defense, and he's a smart basketball player. But I'm overly not concerned. He wasn't playing that good of basketball before he got hurt for me to be worried about him.
What are your thoughts on Kevin Love having a terrible series? Obviously, you know, 12-10 on 32% from the field, offensive rating of 88, defensive rating of 109.
Terrible, terrible series. You can argue it hasn't been a good year for Kevin Love in general. Obviously, he's got a torn ligament in his non-shooting hand, So maybe that's playing an effect. But, God, he's trash. He's horrible. It reminds me of the first year in Cleveland where people were saying, like, you know, Kevin Love is not good and he's bad. And then obviously last year he played well, and the year before he played solid. I don't know. He's so inconsistent. And losing the weight, we talked about this off the podcast a little bit, obviously. But, you know, he lost all that weight, and he just, to me, seems like a softer player in general. Thad Young, as you mentioned off the pod, has been bullying him all series. And Kevin Love is known for the three-point shot, and the guy can't shoot. You know, he's shooting 32% for the series and 37% from three. Just not aggressive, lazy. Who was it that did the preview pod with us?
Jonathan.
For the Cavs? Jonathan. He said Kevin Love was the X factor, I believe. Or Kevin Love was going to have a huge series because, you know, no one could really guard him.
He's the best player in the series.
Yeah. And I was like, check yourself. Kevin Love has played like the 10th best player in this series. Kevin Love's been bad, man. And hopefully he stays this bad. But the one thing I can say is you never know when Kevin Love could snap, because we've seen him have huge games, you know, this season, huge games in the past.
He's even had good moments in the series where he's had a good stretch or two, but it hasn't ever been for four quarters or even, you know, a complete game or anything like that. It's just like, will he show up for game seven? And the amount of pressure he would take off LeBron would be amazing, and it would allow LeBron to spend a little bit more effort defensively where they need him the most. They need him, I mean,
and
on
being
both
at home,
times,
you know, it would be the most opportune time, you know, obviously being at home in front of the fans. Maybe he can get a little bit of home cooking, but you know, if the Cavs, if they want to win this series or have any success in the playoffs going forward, Kevin Love needs to show up. You know, this team doesn't go far if it's got to be LeBron for every game.
Well, mentioning, you know, Love and LeBron, they're the only two guys in this team averaging more than 10 points a game in the series. So I think that kind of tells you enough. People mentioning, you know, LeBron hasn't been great. You know, somebody wrote an article about that on OTG, but I don't agree. I think it's just been his team, and he's having to put so much energy in offensively just to score points and set everything up offensively that defensively he's had to just kind of conserve some energy. And, you know, it does suck, and it's easy to call him out, but he's not, you know, superhuman. He does need rest, especially at his age.
Yeah, and your second, you know, obviously you said Kevin Love's averaging, you know, over 10 points per game, but LeBron,
he's
averaging
12
points per game. Like, it's not like he's giving that much support. You know, offensively, besides the two games where Kyle Korver hit some big threes for them, and Jordan Clarkson had one half where he had, you know, 12 points, but then he didn't score in the second half. You know, he's had helps for like stretches. LeBron, he has not had a consistent player for an entire game.
Which
at
is
least I don't think so. You know.
Crazy. It's crazy. Like, he hasn't, like, Korver had maybe one. I would say maybe Korver had one good game, but most of it all came in one quarter.
It's the guys giving quarters. Like, Jordan Clarkson gave him a really good second quarter. You know, Kevin Love gave him a really good third quarter in game two. Like, no one's giving him any consistent help. They're giving him, like you said, like a bunch of possessions or, you know, a couple quarters. And I think Kyle Korver, yeah, he definitely had a good game five, I think. But aside from that, it's been pretty rough.
You can make the argument Korver's like the X factor, because if he's hitting the three and they run the pick and roll with him getting LeBron the switch, it definitely makes a lot of impact. I don't think anybody anticipated the young guys playing this bad. Like, I think there was question marks about, you know, how they perform in the postseason, but looking at it, you know, Jordan Clarkson, Rodney Hood, you know, Larry Nance, like, none of them are playing great in this series, and it's really hurt them. And they just don't even George Hill isn't a young guy, but he's one of the guys they tried in the trade. And he really hasn't helped LeBron enough. And, like, if they do win the series, how far can they even go? Can they win the next round?
I mean, against the Raptors, I don't think they can. But then again, if the next series, if the Cavs do advance, it becomes something else. Because, you know, the Raptors have, like I mentioned, I might have been on a different pod.
A fear factor. They have a little bit of a fear factor.
Yeah. There's a huge mental hurdle for the Raptors, and it is LeBron James. Just seeing him playing against him, even when the Cavs looked really bad this year, we saw them take two wins against the Raptors late in the season, and it's one of those, like, who's your daddy kind of moments. You know,
and they're a different team, too. They're a different team than the Pacers. The Pacers have more of, like, a hustle in them, where so the Raptors sometimes can coast a little bit. They've had games against the Wizards in the series they won where they had too many turnovers and things like that. You mentioned the fear factor. And then the Cavs end of the spectrum winning a series, a 7-game series, grinding it out. LeBron can kind of, you know, tell these guys, like, come on, we learned this. He could even make an argument to his team. I'm not saying I agree with it. Like, the Pacers might be one of the best teams in the playoffs, and we just beat them in 7 games. So I think it's really tough to defend and see how this could impact the Cavs. If the Pacers win this series, how far do you think they could go?
I think they could beat the Raptors next round. I think anytime you have a team that plays for each other and they play, you know, team basketball, the Raptors have owned the Pacers this season. I think they won 3 matchups against the Pacers. They might have actually won all 4. I think they won 3, though. They dominated the Pacers. Serge Ibaka had a couple huge games, and they just dominated in the paint. But I don't know. I think I like the Pacers so much. Not as I'm a Pacers fan, so it comes off probably slightly biased. But I do like teams that play team basketball, and they play for each other. And you can just tell that. Like, the Utah Jazz do it out west. You know, teams that know they don't have a star, like, you know, they don't have a superstar. So they have to rely on their star, but they understand that it's got to be everybody or we're not going to go far. And that's what, to me, stands out about the Pacers.
Yeah, I think the Pacers would definitely have a shot in the next series. It would be like almost a completely different matchup, though, in the sense where they go from having to really worry about one player to having to defend a whole team and a bench. I think it would be a great series because the Pacers have a little bit of depth, not quite as much as the Raptors, but it'd still be a lot of fun. Who wins Game 7, Cavs or Pacers?
I predicted Cavs in 7. Predicted Cavs in 7. And it's tough because, you know, obviously when you watch your team win 121-87, you think there is no earthly way that this team wins or loses in a Game 7. But I think I have to say, I got to say Pacers. I'm going to say Pacers win Game 7.
Yeah, I think if I was in your shoes and I was a Pacers fan, after, you know, having some of the wins they've had and the lack of supporting cast from LeBron's team, not even the Cavs call LeBron's team, I would go with the Pacers. But, you know, I gotta go with the King. You know, Cavs in 7. LeBron's gonna probably it almost hurt the Pacers in an extent that they blew them out so bad because LeBron got to sit that fourth quarter. And I think that extra energy for him is just gonna come up in this game. He knows that he has to leave it all on the floor regardless. Like, he can afford to lose game 1 of the next series anyways. He's going to leave it all out in this. It's probably going to be like a 40-point triple-double.
I do not expect LeBron to be anything less than great. You know, he's going to be stellar. I do think he's going to have a huge game. I would not – like, I don't want to bet against LeBron because you never bet against LeBron James. But he's going to have a huge game.
I think Korver or Love will step up, one of the two. One of the two will give LeBron a little bit of pop and probably a 20-point game that's able to kind of get them to win. And the Pacers side, if I had to pick a guy that I've been freaking chirping on him for, I feel like, a year now, and chirping on him all series, been waiting for him to have one of these splash games, and that's Miles Turner. He's had moments in the series where it's like, all right, Miles Turner, if you keep doing this, you could really impact the series with your length and your size, but you haven't done it for 4 quarters yet. If you have a big Game 7, you could be a game changer.
No, I agree. He's an X factor. I think Miles Turner could be huge. You know,
especially the 3-point shooting too.
I mean, he's looked good all series. His big issue has been foul trouble. You know, he gets a lot of ticky tacky dumb foul calls. He challenged people at time regulation, challenged him at the rim, especially against LeBron. He tried to go after LeBron a little bit too much.
Well, also, I think it's been like LeBron getting the switch on him. And like when Turner gets onto him, there's not really much he can do. Like lateral little quickness with LeBron, it's just not going to match up. So I think it's a little bit on his teammates to help him out and maybe force one of these other guys to beat them. Like we've mentioned, they all haven't shot well. They haven't scored a lot. You know, come off him, help Miles Turner, make LeBron pass the ball up. Like, if I think I'm going to Game 7 and I'm Nate McMillan, like, I've watched this whole series. I've watched all of the Cavaliers really struggle. Like, there's maybe a few guys I don't want to give open 3-point shots, but I'm trying to force the ball out of LeBron's hand as much as possible. I'm making his life completely miserable. If I lose the game doing that, it's whatever. But these other guys haven't played well. I know LeBron's going to play well. He's probably even going to hit threes. I'm forcing the ball out of his hands as much as possible.
Yeah, I think the entire Game 7 plan is LeBron's going to get his. Let's not let anyone else beat us.
See, I would go at almost the opposite because I think that LeBron is a guaranteed, like, he's going to keep grinding. Like, you literally need to force the ball out of his hands, hard double team him, hard trap him, like, really try to frustrate him. You and I talked about it a little bit off the show. you know, not only is he physically fatigued, he's mentally fatigued. And that, a lot of that has to do with Lance. If they're able to really just like grind his gears and this team sucks, like, and they are not hitting shots, like, he's not, you know, a superhuman in the sense where he can just believe things that aren't going to happen. If the Pacers are able to come out with a hard start and you got Korver shooting 0-3, J.R. Smith shooting air balls, and Jose Calderon out there, like, I think I don't want LeBron to score more than 30 points. That's where I'm going.
Like, it's definitely less ideal. It's definitely less ideal. I mean, you're right. Limiting LeBron James is obviously the best case scenario.
It's the most difficult thing to do probably in basketball. But I think it's a game plan where you have, like, LeBron is amazing. Like, you have to make it not be LeBron. Like, make Kevin Love score 30 points. Can he even do that anymore? Do we know if he can do that in a playoff series? We don't. Like, is there anybody else in this team?
I think kind of like in game six, you also want LeBron taking those pull-up jump shots that he was doing. You know, for whatever reason, LeBron stopped attacking in game six. And for the Pacers, that's what you want. You want LeBron to, you know, take those contested jump shots, even though he's been better this year of all, you know, his years, you know, playing, you know, this game of basketball, shooting the ball. I think you want him to be shooting. You don't want him driving.
In the wins the Pacers have had, they've done a great job of locking down the paint. And when LeBron's got there, he's been met with a couple faces. In the games where, you know, LeBron's gone off and the Cavs has won, it's been a lot more one-on-one situations or an out-of-position guy in the paint where LeBron's getting the and-one. If I'm the Pacers, I'm completely locking on LeBron. And it's just like they've done it a lot in this series, but I think you could even hit it to a higher extent. And I like the way Thad Young's played defense on him. I know a lot of people have mentioned Bogdanovich, but I'm buying Thad Young's defense on him a lot more.
I would like to also say that on the preview pod, I said Thad Young was going to be huge, and he has been. He's been physical. You know, anytime you get somebody who's really physical on you, like Bron, I mean, obviously LeBron James is one of the strongest guys in the league, and we know he's a freak body-wise. But Thaddeus Young has been very good at bodying him.
He's a low-key good athlete too. So, I mean, it should be a really good game seven for the Bucks and Celtics and a game seven for the Cavs and Pacers. We'll see what happens. We'll be back next week, obviously, talking about the previews for the next series moving on to the second round of the Eastern Conference. But as always, thank you for listening. Thanks for hopping on, Corey. And you can catch us on iTunes, Block Talk Radio, OGGBasketball.com, Google Play, and Dash Radio.
Let's go, Pacers. Peace.